A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome, everyone, to the show, Matt Slick Live. And I'm your host, Matt Slick. If you want to give me a call, we have five open lines, 877-207-2276. For those of you who have been following me and stuff, I took the green screen down. So, yes, I know there's rejoicing as well as tears. So it's just the way it goes. And if you want to watch the show, you can watch me sitting in a chair. It's really exciting. All you got to do is go to the carm.org website, carm.org, and you'll find on the right-hand side, you'll find the information you need for just watching the show. Or you just go to Facebook and just type in carm.org, or you can go to YouTube and type in carm.org and stuff like that. So there you go. Yeah, so it says Matt Slick Live Radio on the right-hand side of any page. Okay, so we have no callers waiting, and let me just tell you that we do stay on the air by your support, and if you like what you hear, well, please consider supporting us. You know, I ask $5 a month. If we could get just 1,000 people doing that, that would help us stay in the black on a monthly basis. The COVID thing and other things have really kind of made a difference. But if you're interested in supporting us, you like this, you want the truth of God's Word to go out, please consider doing that. Just go to carm.org, carm.org. On the right-hand side, you'll see the financial support thing. And also, since nobody's calling in right now, call in, folks. I've got a couple of novels that are on the homepage and on the right-hand side. One is called Time Trap, and it is a science fiction novel. And it's and 20% of the proceeds go to CARM for advertising on CARM. You can check it out. Also, a novella called Atheistica, and it's about an atheist island that forms, an island that forms in the Pacific. And a rich atheist guy buys it, and one thing led to another. And so what he does is he creates an atheist nation on there. And things work out pretty well for a while. And so people read it, and they said they like it, they enjoy it. So if you want to check it out, you can. It is there. And we got no audio. Why don't we have any audio? No audio, the guy says. I don't know what's going on. I'll have to check on that. I'll work on it. So it should work. We have the audio right there. And we got a caller coming in. That's good. Turn this down. And there we go. So, yeah. No, I see why. It should go right there. I don't know why it didn't. It's not going to where it should go. Yeah, I can't change it. It won't let me change it. Even when I change it, it doesn't let me change it. I'll leave and come back in. So anyway, if you want to give me a call, we have four open lines, folks. 877-207-2276. Want to hear from you. And what we do on the show, if you're new to the show, is I'm a Christian apologist, and I defend the Christian faith. And what I do is work very hard to show that Christianity is true, and all other religious systems are not true. They are all false. Only Christianity is true. And I'm just telling you that. Hopefully, you'll want to participate in conversations on that topic and other topics. So we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's just go ahead and get on the phone with, let's get on with Tara there from Iowa. Hey, Tara, welcome. You're on the air. Hi.
Couple of times we've talked about my, when you, I don't know if this will, you'll recall this, but when, how do you know the first time you were saved? And my pastor had mentioned you knew when you knew, and I just didn't recall. And then I talked to you about the coronavirus. I don't know. I know you talked to a million people, but I do talk to you, and you just were like calling people. I'm like, oh, I'm calling in because I guess I just wanted to let you know. I'm getting baptized Sunday.
Good.
And I should have been baptized a long time ago because the Lord was in my heart. But I wanted to be cleaner and, you know, more upright and more bride-like and really just struggling to surrender from some of my sins.
Good. Good.
And, well, now it's here. And I really, it just kind of sidebinded me here. I talked to my pastor yesterday, and it just kind of came out. And whatever, you know how it just goes. And he's like, well, you just let me know if you want to do it this Sunday. Next Sunday is Father's Day. And I thought, oh, my gosh. Okay. And I was just like, I still am like, wasn't sure. I'll get back to you. And I'm thinking, well.
Not sure about what?
About committing to the baptismal because of my, I'm still have sin. Yeah, that I am currently trying to work out.
Okay.
So, I don't know if it's
without getting into specifics, what we, you know, if you're out murdering people on a daily basis, your baptism, I wouldn't do it, you know, of course. And if you're just struggling with bad thoughts, you know they're wrong, you know, things like that, you're struggling, don't think that, and you move forward. Well, okay, not that hey, that's okay to sin that way and you get baptized. There's this kind of an ambiguous kind of a gray area here. And we all struggle. We all struggle with things.
Right.
But if you're in open defiance of God, where you have to seek it out, that's different than
right.
I'm struggling with something that I'm just struggling with. So, you know, if that's what the case
right.
is, you're just struggling with something, go get baptized.
Last week on your program, I heard you say that if you're living with a man, you can't call yourself a Christian.
If you're living with... let me explain. If you're living with someone of the opposite sex you're not married to, you're having relations, etc., don't call yourself a Christian.
Right. And that really had been... The Holy Spirit had already been convicting me a lot about that, and I knew that I can't do this. I don't want to do this anymore.
Okay.
I have to do this to save us. And I didn't want to be, the world says it's okay and all this. It's been weighing on me, and I heard that, and I thought, it was devastating to hear. Because I do consider myself a Christian.
Let me talk about this a little bit.
Make me upset or anything like that. What's that?
Let me talk about this a little bit. See, why do I say don't call yourself a Christian? It's not saying you're not a Christian. Don't
bear
call
witness.
Yourself
one.
It's a false
right.
witness, and you're you know,
right.
if you know you're living in a sinful relationship, you're having relations, well, maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're just pretending, but maybe you are, and the Holy Spirit's really speaking to you, and you know it, and it's time to break that off. Well, that's a good thing. And so, you know, if you're, what you need to do at this point is you need to be involved in a church. You need to be talking to the elders, and if the elders know, and if they're worth their salt, then if they say, you know, if you were in my congregation, I was a pastor, and you came to me and said, I'm struggling with this issue, I'm living with a guy, and I'm going to ask you questions. You know,
right.
You know, are you having relations? If you say yes,
I did talk to my pastor last night about it. I said, I'm planning on moving. I know that's the right thing to do, but it just, you know, I knew it was wrong anyway, you know, but it was the financial thing and all that.
Okay.
And it's just...
Yeah, look.
Right. And
here's
so,
the thing.
I know, and as I matured...
You have to... trust the Lord. He opens doors, or do you open them?
Okay.
He closes doors, or do you close them? And there's a little bit of that. You don't want to go into a sinful situation because of convenience.
Right. And I did.
Okay.
I did that.
Well, then,
and it, you know,
Then Tara, just
and so it's something weighing on me. And I'm just nervous about making this commitment to the Lord when I'm not fully upright and my intentions are good. Is it something you would recommend me just poking in the Word more? I mean, I love
you,
the...
You need
I,
to
my
be,
soul.
You need to be talking to your elders, okay? And the elders will ask you more details. I don't want to get too many details over the air.
Right.
But, you know, when I do marriage counseling... And I performed a wedding a couple of weeks ago. Well, when I do marriages, And I interview the people before they get married. I do counseling with them. I'll ask them, are you fooling around? And I say, you better tell me the truth. Just tell me the truth.
Yeah.
And they, you know, if they say yes, I'll say, here's how it's going to work. I'll perform the ceremony under this condition that you, from now this moment on, never, you know, except until after you get married, have it fall like that again. If you do, then we're going to postpone the marriage 6 months for more counseling and serious. They look at me like, you're serious? He said, absolutely. Or you can go find someone else to marry you.
I love it. I think this is
what I do. Oh, I'm very serious about marriage.
Yeah, me too. People. I understand. Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I'm saying is that you have to walk with the Lord deliberately.
I know. It's okay. Exactly. And that's...
But here's the deal.
One of my struggles with it, the flesh and you know, with my spirit and everything is that I made poor choices as I matured in Christ and everything. I wanted to prolong it to be squeaky clean. I did talk to my pastor about it. He did ask me if we were, you know, fooling around and things like that. I was honest with it, with my answer.
What did the pastor recommend?
He said it was sinful. At that time, I wasn't asking to be baptized.
He said it was sinful. All right. So you have to.
New one.
You need to. If I were, you know, your pastor, I'd say I'm not going to baptize you until after you rectified the situation. I want to see the evidence of the work of the Lord in you and your commitment to Him. That's the idea.
Okay.
When people are getting baptized quickly in the Bible, these are people who saw what Christ had done, believed in what Christ had done, and they repented of their sins quickly. They did this right away. This is what they would naturally do. And so you need to be able to do that, because it wouldn't be right for you to be participating in that kind of a sinful lifestyle and be baptized or even take communion.
Right. Oh, man.
Okay.
I know. And you know what? That's just going to help me, you know, quicken the situation as well.
Good.
And thank you much for talking to me. It's always a pleasure, and you are very special radio, and I will be donating.
Oh, that's okay. But let me tell you a little bit more. I want you to understand you. I'm being firm because you need to hear the truth. I'm assuming your pastor is saying the same thing. But on the other hand, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus is so kind, and He wants you to turn from your sin, and His arms are open. Confess your sin and stop in that area. And once you're there, just go be baptized, because that baptism is a public display that you are following Christ. And so I'd say to people, if you're living with one another and you're not married, in a sinful relationship like that, don't call yourself a Christian. Don't be a bad witness. And it might be that you're not a Christian, because people who are not convicted by that kind of sin, that's a sign that the Holy Spirit's not in them. They're not regenerate. They're not saved. But you have that. So, you know, praise God. You know, praise God. That means you're going to work on this. You're going to get a situation taken care of and walk with the Lord. Okay?
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome, Tara. Okay, hey folks, we have 5 open lines. We've got a break right now. Give me a call during the break, 877-207-2276. Do not make me come out there and talk to you. Come on, give me a call. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome to the show, everybody. We have 2 open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Brenda from North Carolina.
Hi.
Welcome. Hi.
Hi, Matt. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call.
I
heard the end of one of your broadcasts a couple weeks ago, and I just haven't been able to get through to ask you about this. You were talking about Beth Moore and denouncing, I think, her ministry, and I just wondered if you would elaborate on that a little bit for me.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. She says things like, God wields incomparably great power for those who choose to believe. Read it again. Incomparably great power, more than enough to break the yoke of bondage. Our belief unclogs the pipe and invites the power to flow.
Matt?
This is a, yes?
I'm gonna hang my phone up and listen to you on the radio because I'm having a little trouble
okay.
hearing you on the phone. Is that okay?
That's fine. No problem at all.
Thank
okay.
you.
All right.
Thanks.
Sure, no problem. All right, so Beth Moore says that. And the issue here, this is just a minor issue. Our belief unclogs the pipe and invites the power to flow. What this kind of thinking does and statement is it puts the responsibility of God's work on you. And it's not trusting in God and being changed to be like what God's plan is. But no, it's you have this power, you have this ability, and you have to release that power of God, that kind of mentality, and it leads to errors. She promotes contemplative prayer. She says this, quote, a true lover of God once spoke about practicing God's presence. To me, that's such a part of contemplative prayer. Well, contemplative prayer is an Eastern mysticism methodology that's crept into the church. And it's not good. And I'm just going over briefly stuff. She says that Catholicism is part of the Christian church. And any preacher, teacher who says Catholicism is part of the Christian church does not know what the Catholic Church actually teaches or what the Bible actually teaches. And I'll say it again. I've said it hundreds of times over the years on radio. Roman Catholicism is not true Christianity. It violates at least one of the essential doctrines of the Christian faith by adding works to salvation. They say they don't, but I quote them their own official material. Yes, they do. And it is not a true Christian church. It is an apostate church full of idolatry and works righteousness and false teachings. And God shows Beth Moore a vision of the church. This is what she says. This is a quote. This is all documented on my website. I see God doing something huge in the body of Christ. I do not know why. I have had the privilege to get to travel around and see one church after another, one group of believers after another, interdenominationally all over this country. But I've gotten to see something that I think is huge. And I'll also suggest to you, hold on, clear my throat there, that I'm not the only one. And tonight I'm going to do my absolute best to illustrate to you something that God showed me sitting out on my back porch. He put a picture, I've explained to you before, I'm a very visual person, so he speaks to me very often in putting a picture in my head, and it was as if I was raised up looking down on a community and I saw the church in that particular dimension. So wait a minute, now she's in a different dimension, and God puts images in her mind, and she's raised up, and she can see things. Certainly not all dimensions, not even many, but in all that we discussed tonight, the church as Jesus sees it in a particular dimension. So now she's saying she sees the church the way Jesus has seen the church. Now, when you say this kind of a thing, you're elevating yourself up to a spiritual level, and people who are, let's see, emotionally, mentally ready to follow somebody because they want that experience, they want that, ooh, wow, kind of a thing, they will fall victim to that kind of a thing. She says, whispers in the heart as revelations from God. Check this out. As we study, we may see several examples of him, Christ, posing a question that only he could answer. Christ certainly uses that teaching method with me. Sometimes he'll cause me to dig deep through Scripture for a question he seemed to initiate. No problem there. Other times, the question may come as a personalized whisper in my heart. Beth, why are you acting that way? Often my answer is, I don't know, Lord. Can you tell me why? If I really search his heart, sooner or later, he'll give me insight into my reactions. So, I can understand this one. But this is another one of those gray area things where she'll talk about that as though God is talking to her directly, and now she'll communicate to you. These are kind of the things that prophets did in the Old Testament. And we got to be careful of that. And she also says this, it'll be the last one, what God began to say to me about 5 years ago, and I'm telling you, it is in me on such a trek with him that my head is still whirling over it. He began to say to me, I'm gonna say something right now, Beth, and boy, you write this one down, and you say it as often as I give you utterance to say it. My bride is paralyzed by unbelief. My bride is paralyzed by unbelief. And he said, quote, starting with you, So now she's telling us what God literally is saying to her to say to the church. Okay? Because we can do a lot of finger-pointing around here about why we're revival is not happening here and there. Let me tell you something. Revival will always happen with faith. So you see, it's these kind of, these are a lot of warning flags. When people don't know any better in the Word of God, and they go to a place and they listen to someone like that speak and say, well, God told me this. God spoke to me. I had a vision. Let me tell you how it is. People walk away, oh, she had visions. Oh, visions and all this. Well, the Bible says we can have those things in Acts chapter 2, 17, 18, 19. But the thing is, how is it done? Is it done to bring attention to yourself and your authority? Or is it done because the Lord Jesus Christ has given you something and you're very cautious about how you present it? See, the thing is, if we're going to get something from the Lord, and I have before, I'm very reticent to talk about it, you know, not flippantly. And if I'm preaching and I talk about it, I'm going to say, look, I am not this, I'm not that, I'm not saying this or that, but this happened one time. So don't think anything about me special. It can happen to you. And go on like this, because we don't want to draw any undue exaltation and self-exaltation. And this is one of the psychological manipulation things that can happen to a congregation when someone up there that they're just trusting has a good speaking voice, can say things, is nice looking, has a big ministry, and they'll just go in and they'll believe. And so there's a lot of things to be warned about with Beth Moore, and there's more. I just haven't had time to verify them and write on them, and I'm absolutely swamped right now with stuff, so can't do it right now. Hope that answers that question. Let's get on the phone with John from Georgia. John, welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing today, Matt?
Doing all right, by God's grace. What do you got?
Good, good. Hey, quick. What kind of a government would Jesus want us to live under?
Well, I can only tell you that there are issues of government that are recognized in Scripture. One is representative government. Out of the Old Testament, don't have the exact verses, but in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was told to appoint people who would be their representatives. So representative government is one. Now, some people say that socialism is the biblical way. No, it's not. When in Acts chapter 5, when people gave what they owned to other people for the furthering of the ministry, that was because they owned it, and they had the right to do with it as they desired. That's the form of private property that the Bible teaches, but socialism doesn't teach that. And so that's out. And there's other stuff, but since the break's coming up, hold on, and I'll talk a little bit more about it after these messages. Please stay tuned. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. We have three open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to John from Georgia. All right, you still there?
Yes, sir.
All right, so let me just go through it quickly. A representative form of government with self-governance, and I can give you the scriptures for this, private property rights, the principle of liberty and freedom, capitalist principles, that you have the right to earn money, make money for what you do, witnesses with a fair trial of contemporaries, and the right of self-defense. So these are the biblical principles, how they're worked out. And also, the biblical principle is that men are fallen by nature and need laws and rules to keep them in line. And so if we don't have those, what we have is anarchy, Antifa, Black Lives Matter doing their stuff, riots. We have all kinds of stuff going out there.
Okay. Okay. More specifically, real quick, would gay marriage be allowed?
Gay marriage is sinful, and I don't recognize gay marriage. I don't recognize it as being valid.
So a government that Christians say would say no to gay marriage?
Of course. because homosexuality is a sin.
Yeah.
Marriage is by definition that God has established between a man and a woman. That's how it is. And so homosexuality is condemned in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Doesn't mean we hate them. It doesn't mean we want to hurt them. Doesn't mean we want to have them fired from their jobs because they dared say that that they are homosexual and we don't approve. Now, they'll have us fired for saying it, but they can do it. And if we disagree with it, they'll fire us. We don't do that to them. See, the homosexuals and the community at large, when they get that liberal and that whacked, they start turning against goodness. And they start penalizing those who hold to goodness. And this is what's going to happen. But nevertheless, homosexual marriage is sinful, and nobody should recognize it as being true and valid.
Okay. Thank you for my call.
All right. You're welcome. All right. That was John from Georgia. We have four open lines. It's a slow day today. Wow. Give me a call, folks. Four open lines. 877-207-2276. I'll get to Joanne from North Carolina. Hey, Joanne, how are you?
Hey, I'm okay. I am calling for Bethany. Do you remember Bethany? I have to talk.
Yeah.
Okay. I know these answers, but we just need you to verify for Bethany. And she realizes that she is emotional because she's in quarantine and things that are going on. But she's to the point that she only trusts her husband and two other couples, and they're extremely busy, and she would never take their time. But what if Bethany is in a church, and the lady called, you know, earlier, and she was talking about being together before marriage. And so what if there were two that were in a church, and they were, the preacher knew, and they're not married, they're engaged. The preacher knew that they were not married, and that he's putting both of them in leadership, and I don't mean deacon, but maybe a music ministry of
Wait. You mean, hold on, let me get this straight. Mm-hmm. You mean there's a couple living together, male and female, married, fornicating, and the pastor wants to put them in place of leadership?
Sir.
The pastor needs to be kicked out of the pulpit.
It's already been done.
He needs to be fired. He's be fired out of that job.
So he's
not qualified to be a pastor. The elder should go in there with tar and feathers, and figuratively, get rid of him. Okay?
And there's no elders. And so
the women and the men need to rise up. they need to stop it. See, we're not coming to come here. You need to leave. You need to stop. You're a pagan teacher. If this pastor is putting people in places of spiritual authority who are living in rebellion against God, he's not qualified to be a pastor. Everybody in the church should just leave, walk out. Dust the feet off of their shoes. Wipe the dust off their shoe. Okay? That's what should happen. Okay, now I got that off my chest.
Well, that's what that's what Bethany's wanting to know. Bethany loves the church and loves the pastor, and so does Bethany's husband dearly.
So, what's that got to do with anything?
So, does she walk? Do they walk?
Yes. Get out. Just because you like the pastor doesn't mean he's good. Doesn't mean you should stay. Look, if a pastor knows that a couple is living in sin, not married, they're fornicating, and he puts them in places of spiritual authority, he is not qualified to be a pastor. Period. And I would say it to his face. And the people who are in the church have the obligation to follow Christ, not their hearts, not their spouses, and not their children, but to follow Christ above all, and to abandon such false things and walk out. That's what they ought to do. Okay.
Okay.
And if it's they want to cry about it, let them cry about it while they're walking out. They want to feel bad about it, let them feel bad about it.
No, it'll be fascinating to cry.
Well, okay. And I know it's hard, but we Christians have got to realize we put Jesus first, not our feelings, not our convenience.
I know. And
okay.
So should Bethany's praying for the pastor to change.
Good. Pray while she's not going there.
But it's not changing. And so Bethany's just sort of to the point that she just doesn't know which way to turn.
She needs to find another church. Just find another church. Ask God to reveal to her a church to go to by either a vision from heaven. But, Lord, just direct me to another church. And she starts going to other churches and check things out and call up churches. And that's what we do. We go to a different area, my wife, and we call up the churches and interview the pastors. What do you teach about this and this and that and that? Well, we get it straight. And I'm not going to waste my time.
Bethany called her pastor and tried to talk to him, and he wouldn't talk.
Well, water balloons are always a good idea at this point. Water balloons and slingshots with garlic. We have false preachers and false teachers in the pulpits as well. So anyone who would just say, yeah, it's okay, we're going to put them in a place of spiritual leadership. If I ever met a pastor who said, I'd say, let me get this straight. Are you saying? And then he says, yeah. I'd say, okay. I want to say right away, you're not qualified to be a pastor. That's going to close the door. But I would say, do you realize this is sin? Now, I remember once I was in a church because a church allowed the facility to be used by a non-Christian cult to preach and teach their false theology. It was Christian Science that they were allowing to come in. And I went and made an appointment with the pastor. And I said, maybe you don't know that it's a cult that denies the essentials of the Christian faith, denies all of them, all of them. And he said, doesn't matter, as long as they're preaching Jesus. I said, well, you don't understand. They don't preach Jesus. It's Christian Science. Jesus, as it says in Science and Health, the Key of the Scriptures, paragraph 25, line 8. Let's see if I can remember this. The material blood of Jesus was no more efficacious to cleanse from sin when it was shed on the cross than when it was flowing through his veins as he was going about daily to do his Father's bidding or work. In other words, they flat out denied the sacrifice of Christ, the blood sacrifice. So I told this to the guy, and he said, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. They're all good. And I just turned to him, and I said, are you even a Christian? And he said, get out. So I left. But there are false converts in the pulpit as well. Christians in the world need to take the Bible seriously and not worry about their own feelings or the feelings of others. I mean, be concerned and pray, but you need to put the Word of Christ first and follow what the Word of God says. And need to abandon all churches that have women pastors and elders. Need to abandon all churches where homosexuality is approved of. You need to abandon all churches where they don't teach that the Scriptures are sufficient. You need to abandon all churches that say that baptism is required for salvation. You need to abandon all churches that says Roman Catholicism is Christian. You need to abandon the false teachings, and the church needs to be purified. And the men of God need to stand up. That's what they need to do. All right? Okay. Move along. Okay, Joanne. Joan? Okay, we'll talk to you later, okay?
No, Joanne.
Joanne. I couldn't spell it. Okay, sorry. I'm reading it wrong. All right. See you. God bless. Okay,
okay, God bless.
God bless. Hey, folks, we have three open lines. Give me a call.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's get to Wendy from Charlotte, North Carolina. Wendy, you're on the air.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
What do you got?
I listen to you some evenings. I listen to a lot of talk radio. And about 3 days ago, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, about 3 days ago, you were on with a listener, And I think I caught the tail end of your statement, so I don't know what the listener was asking.
Okay.
But your statement, part of your statement said that they, and I'm quoting you, they want to turn into martyr criminals.
Oh, the left. Yeah, the leftist agenda wants to do that. And I got that from Candace Owens. I watched something where she was talking about, I don't know if you know who she is, but she's just phenomenal. And she's a black woman, and she was talking about how too much times the left, and often the blacks in the community, will raise up criminals as martyrs.
And,
yeah.
And I don't agree with Candace and okay. anybody else that would say that. I don't consider myself
Floyd,
a leftist.
George Floyd was a criminal. And in out of jail and drugs, and he was high when he was apprehended. What happened to him was wrong. The cop should not have done that. Period.
Right.
Okay.
That's what
but
I don't. That's what I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't understand. Yeah. You know, I feel like you were stereotyping a group of people as
when you said they
want to turn their criminals into martyrs. That's not it at all.
It's
we
the
want
left.
The police. Killing. We want the police to stop killing people. I don't care what color they are, to unjustly kill somebody. For what that man did, he did not deserve to be killed like that.
I agree.
And so it threw me, you know, to hear you say that, you know.
Well, I agree with you.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, he should not have been
God
killed.
God tells us not to judge. God tells us to love our neighbor.
Yep.
God tells us to help the strangers, talking about refugees, and a lot of people on the right, they don't preach that.
Yes, they do. Hold on a sec. The people on the right do talk about helping people, and it's the people on the right who are the ones who give. We want refugees and stuff to come into the country legally, not illegally. Stuff like that.
Right. I'm not. Okay. Yeah, but God tells you to accept the strangers.
Yes, but there's
a
degree. Let me ask you, would you accept strangers into your home?
I believe totally, you know, that is different. When you have refugees.
Let me ask you a question. Would you accept strangers into your home?
And I'm going to answer. When you have strangers coming into a country as refugees, there's a process that has to be followed. And this government, Donald Trump is a criminal, but you all...
Okay. Look, folks, I'm not going to put up with that crap. And I am so tired of the leftists and people who are swayed by this. I didn't vote for Donald Trump, but I'm going to tell you something. You start calling the President of the United States a criminal, you don't know what you're talking about, and you should stop. The ones who are criminals are the ones who are rioting and looting. And Donald Trump is trying to stop it. I don't agree with everything this guy does and says, but I'll tell you, he's not a criminal. The criminals are the ones like Pelosi and others in the FBI who've done some bad stuff in our country, who are trying to bring this country down. My thing is not politics, folks. It's theology, but it's bleeding over into it more and more. You need to pray for the President of the United States, just as I prayed for Barack Obama, who I think is one of the worst presidents ever to sit in that office. But you know what? I pray for the guy and pray for the revival of this country, and that's what needs to be done. And don't say that Donald Trump's a criminal. That is just, I have to say it, stupid. Don't go there. Give facts and stop drinking the leftist Kool-Aid. Let's get to Roger from North Carolina. You're on the air.
1 Corinthians 3:14 mm-hmm. and 15.
Yes.
I know it's a little self-explanatory, but I do like to have your take on that.
Well, what it's talking about there is a judgment that's to come. Everybody's going to face judgment before God. The Christians will not face any judgment of condemnation, but the unbelievers will. And what we're going to face as Christians are the works that we do in the name of Christ and with the talents that God has given us. What are we going to do? What have we done? What might we do? And so God's going to judge us on that. There'll be probably a reward or loss of reward in heaven based on that. Okay.
Okay. That, in that verse 15, it says, I will be saved as if by fire, as if I will lose some rewards, but my I will be saved in spirit. Unless, in other words, I'm going to heaven.
Right, they're going to heaven, but it's not because of the base of works. More, Roman Catholics use these verses to suggest the idea of purgatory, that the fire will purify you in hell. And it's ripped out of context. They don't know what they're talking about. And so this is an issue. If any man's works, which he built on, remains, he'll receive a reward, verse 14. If any man's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss, rewards and loss in heaven. Now, in hell also, the worse people that they are, the more stripes, it says in the Bible, I forgot the verse, they will receive. The more that they're that they did evil, the more there will be their punishment for it forever.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening. Okay.
All right. And I will be start sending in a little money toward that.
Okay. Well, God
thank
bless.
You.
All right.
I just love what you do. I love what you do. Been listening to you for years.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Really appreciate that.
Appreciate everything.
All right. God bless. Okay. Let's get on the phone with Dave from Iowa. Hey, Dave, you're on the show.
Hello, Matt. Thanks for taking my call again. And I wanted to ask you Dave's question of the week, which is, you know, Matt, I hear people pray around me, hey, Lord, just be with that person, which is a nice prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. But oftentimes I think God's already with them. And so it's kind of like thinking it's like a prayer that doesn't need to be prayed. And then there's also the verse where two or more are gathered. So how is that different if the Lord's with someone anyway?
Well, what it is, prayer, people don't realize that prayer affects the one praying a lot. The more you pray, the more you hear and feel, so to speak, that presence of God. And this is why prayer is there. But you're right, technically, hey, you know, he's already there. So I pray, Lord, be with them. But what people are generally saying is, be with them and protect them and guide them. You just don't say that. It's kind of a shorthand way of stuff. So when my wife and I pray, we pray nightly, then, you know, say, Lord, be with so-and-so and comfort them. I get into a little bit more detail, you know, and I have people I pray for their health, you know, and name them and please heal them and things like that. So I try to get a little bit more specific. I think that's a good idea to do in prayer. But sometimes you say
sometimes I say, reveal yourself, Lord, because you're already there.
Yes, that's a great example. You're already there, but reveal yourself that you're there. The kind of revelation where they're on their faces sobbing, Lord, be gone from me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Get them saved.
You'll be with two Christians, and then they'll say, well, we're two or more gathered. Jesus is with us. And I'm like, yes.
In his
name. But isn't he already here? You have a comment on that whole, you know, math, simple math. I mean, again, I'm not being critical.
It's all right.
I'm just kind of like tweaking, you know, a little bit like, what's really true about that?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not exactly sure what that means. Two or more are gathered, there I am among them, or I'm with them.
Right.
It seems to say that, and I think the context is, in his name, that he's there with you. Now, he's always there with you, but then he's really there with you. I remember, I have hearing aids, okay? I never forgot to think, I have hearing aids, because I blew my ears out when I was a kid. So I don't really need them all that much, but I have them. And so the lady showed me, I never forgot this, she says, she clicks this battery compartment open, she goes, now that's off. Then she opened it all the way, but that's really off. Well, both are off. But I never forgot that. That's off, but that's really off. Well, they're both off. And so I never forgot that. I got a kick out of that. So God's with you, but he's really with you, you know. And sometimes he just reveals himself in a special way, so... You know,
that could be it, or it could just be confirmation. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's good that the Lord is with us, and we can just acknowledge Him and thank Him that He is. It's already happening.
I want Him to be with us and really with us. So, okay.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
All right, man. You too. God bless. All right. Let's get to Melinda from Utah. We lost Melinda. She was going to, I would love to hear that call. especially about now. She's going to call and say, thanks for all that you do. You know, I do get people emailing and on the radio saying that they appreciate that. And, you know, it really does help. It really does minister to me, because this is not an easy ministry to do. And I'm not begging for compliments. I'm just saying it is nice, you know, to have people show appreciation. But I always like to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one who gave me the ability to do what I do. I'm not the one with the wisdom. He is. I'm not the one with the ability. He is. He's the one who takes broken vessels and uses them for his glory. And that's that. So let me just jump on the next line here, which I don't know who or what it's about, but let's just get on there.
Well,
hey, you are on the air. What's your first name?
This is Gary from Utah. I've talked to you before, Matt.
Okay. Hey, Gary. We got about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. What's up, buddy?
I'll try to make it quick. Okay. When you get a chance, I know you believe probably in prophecy, I'm sure. I've got some videos of a guy, the born-again believer. His name's Kim Clements, I think that's his name. Short version is, I've got some videos saved of him from all the way back from 03, 07, and 2013 and beyond, where he was talking about different prophecies about how God is using President Trump. He even goes by the name, and he talked about impeachment and everything else, and everything has come to pass what he was saying. So this is mind-blowing. Have you ever seen that guy?
No, I haven't. Email me the information, info@karm.org. What else does he say? Just now, I'm just curious. What does he say? Since we got nobody waiting.
Short version is everything he talked about, they will impeach you. They will come, but they will fail impeachment. He says, your name is Donald, and you will come like the Trump. You know, in the verse in the Bible where it says Trump, like a trumpet.
Yes.
He talks about those verses, and I'm just winging it right now. But he has all these different verses, and I'm like, my jaw's dropping going, wow, prophecy. Not that I doubted it, but prophecy coming to pass. And I'm like, wow, blew me away.
Wow. Well, I can... check it out. I don't know if he's any. Yeah, someone put a link in for me, so I'm gonna check it out.
Beautiful!
I don't have a problem with prophecies occurring. I think God can certainly do stuff. Why not?
Mm-hmm. And he also talked about how the president will get a second term in a landslide. We still got to get out and vote, but I'm trusting God as well. So I'm going to do both parts: get out and vote for this president to get law and order, but also trust God as well to vote.
Yeah, could you imagine if Biden were president, or if Hillary had been president? Oh man, it would be
Biden
horrible.
Is dementia. He doesn't remember where he's at from 1 minute to the next.
I know.
He always babbles.
And why is it that the news media doesn't jump on that? You know, because if Trump were to do anything like that, they'd be all over to be front page news. But no,
yeah, we've never heard the end of it.
Oh yeah, I don't trust the media. I do not trust them. Mm-hmm. Check out the Conservative Chronicle, folks. Check that out. And also go to your phone for the phone app, the Conservative News app. Conservative News.
And one more thing before we go, Matt. Check out Dr. Stephen Turley.
But tell you what, email me the information, okay, buddy? Good, we're clear to go.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, folks, have a great weekend. Pray for this country. Christians, pray. And ask God to raise up people and intervene for this country. That's what our job is to do as Christians, among other things. May the Lord bless you. Have a great weekend, and by his grace, we'll be back on here Monday. Talk to you then.